I think, as I mentioned, most all of us have secret sauce, great dishes that we like to cook. Great chefs will spend years perfecting a single sauce. Although a few secret ingredients can distinguish a sauce, and therefore the dish, the base usually starts with a simple thing such as flour and butter or oil heated together for that thickening agent. And the base then is established. And the rest depends on whatever additional ingredients that the chef decides to add. I like French cooking. I like Northern Italy cooking because Northern Italy cooking is a little bit like French cooking in a lot of ways. It's not as spicy as some of the Southern Italian dishes are. But the French, in particular, have a way that they perfected this process. And they have their base, this five mother sauces that make up all the French dishes. And one of these, once they master these five, then they can experiment with all the other things to make the dish even better. Now, the base becomes very well known by a chef, and they call it a signature sauce or a secret sauce. And every chef dreams of discovering that distinguishing taste that wows their clients and restaurateurs. So many of these sauces only last as long as the meal they were intended for because they don't keep. We like to go someplace and every once in a while and have some of that gourmet cooking. But it's usually rich, so you always say, well, give me a to-go box and I'll take some of it home. And you get it home and you go to warm it up and it's not so good. Because once that stuff cools and you put it in the refrigerator, those things separate out of the secret sauce. And you try to whisk it back together, but it just doesn't seem to have that same flavor. So if you try to save that sauce for leftovers, sometimes you just get a chunky mess or even a sour mess. And no matter how hard you try, your taste buds that experience that original dish is just not as good. It's a sort of a once-and-done affair, if you would. The moment these ingredients separate, the sauce is doomed. The symbolic relationship is no more. So the real secret to a great recipe. And you think, why are you talking about food, preacher? Why are you talking, what's that got to do with the gospel? Bear with me. Endurance over time with that sauce, the consistency, the reliability, the trustworthiness, and the unity. Indivisibility matters. Integrity matters. Because the best recipes bring together very unlikely ingredients into a unique and a beautiful harmony. Great ones endure. Superb ones last forever. Integrity means no matter how many times you try it, it tastes as good as the very first time. Coca-Cola made a big mistake when they, a few years ago, came out with what they called the New Coke. Didn't work out so good. But one of the things that Coca-Cola did do from the beginning, whoever was responsible for coming up with the original Coke, they kept the recipe. And they put the recipe, they even to this day have it sealed in a safe somewhere. Thank God for Coke, because the New Coke didn't do so good. So they had to come back with the real thing, as they call it. This mixture just doesn't endure or have that ecstatic experience at one setting. But consistency in the product is important. Day after day, year after year, the success of that brand, as we know as Coca-Cola, proved this truth. The mixture retains an intact. You can now get the original Coca-Cola, and it tastes just the same as it did long time ago. Now, they came out with Diet Coke. I like Diet Coke, but One thing that they did accomplish, and now with Coke Zero, it's very close to the original taste, but it's not the original. For years, this is the way people felt about church. Coca-Cola thought that they could make the Coca-Cola product better, and they didn't do so good. They had to go back to the original. So what's that got to do with the church? Well, church is something in the past was, no matter where you went, no matter what language you worshiped in, no matter how far away from home you were, or how long it's been, you could come to church and experience the same kind of community, familiarity, the feeling of reverence that you remember from your childhood. People may have changed, and the style of worship may be a little different. The flavor of music may be unique to individual congregations, but the taste, the feel of the community, the basic tenets of the faith, and the feeling of acceptance. The symbolic reverence was a brand that you knew you could trust. And it has endured over time from the very first century onward. But like all things, the church has experienced times of disharmony, discord, separation, dysphoria. Even in the midst of Jesus' own disciples, one would betray him and cause a rift in the other 11. No community, not even Jesus' own community, has ever been in perfect harmony all throughout time. Yet, I love the buts in Scripture. Despite this acknowledgement, the gold remains. Synchrony, community, alternative community, the kind that bonds and endures. And the bonding agent in this secret sauce is love. Now, not the kind of love the world calls today love. I love to play golf. I love to do that. No. Agape love, unconditional, unmerited love. That's the kind of love that God was talking about when he said, love God, love each other. Now, in the tenet of the Jewish Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Love one another. We even say it in the Lord's Prayer that we recited a little while ago. It's what we as Christians say is the most important thing to us, loving God, loving each other. Except that each other sometimes tends to become conditional, exclusionary, limited, or confined to a minimal space. But Jesus intended community as an exclusive community. You see, the vision of the early Christian church was a united global community, like it should be today. Oh, the world's got bigger. We lost contact with different things. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is universal, as we say in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the one holy Catholic church. Now, that's easier said than done. And Jesus knew that, even when he was here on this earth. It's what makes love so hard. There's an old folk saying attributed to Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, the fellow that pretty much got us onto the Protestant traditions that we experience today. And this is what he said. He said, whenever the Lord builds a church, the devil will build a chapel. Think about that. Whenever the Lord builds a church, the devil will build a chapel. We are in this battle of good and evil. The devil is always attacking the church. And he'll always provide something for people that don't want to be a part of the church, that just want to do their own thing. So we're in the world. Jesus said we're in the world, not of the world, but we got to deal with this worldly stuff. There's another threat to the church, and it's really diabolic. Human nature is always evident. I always say that times have changed, but human nature has never changed. as God would say, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. That's what sin's doing. Its desire is to get you. Or what Jesus said to Peter, and I use this a lot because I, like you all, I have my days, I have temptations, I have sin in my life also at times, and I just don't know how to handle it, don't know what to do with it, but Jesus gave us a good clue. Get thee behind me, Satan, because you are a stumbling block to me. Think about that. Both significantly a threat to unity, a diversion away from relationship. It's very interesting, and I'm so glad. I don't know what will happen later on, but that mass shooting in Buffalo yesterday, city council president happens to be a pastor also, and when they were interviewing him, it said, you know, this is a terrible thing, but, you know, we need to pray for that young man. And then the mayor, one thing has not happened, is riots in the city of Buffalo. Yeah, evil was up there, but, you know, rioting and burning things down don't solve anything. So that's where the gospel comes in. We need to be able to understand people that are struggling with those kind of issues. Evidently, he played that for a long time, and there was no doubt that he was focusing on colored folk. So why do people do stuff like that? I don't know. But we need to pray for him, even though we don't understand him, because he's going to suffer the consequences of what he did. It's diabolic. I love word studies. I'm fascinated with the amount of acronyms in our society that's become words. But there's one word, Balin, which is the root word to a word that we call throw. It's combined with S-Y-N, synonymous with, and it means to throw together or unify or bind together. And then when it's combined with the D-I-A part of the word, it means throw apart, cast apart, rip apart, or divide. What is diabolical? It's divisive. It's the property or condition of divisiveness or divisive. There is divisiveness in our world. But if we know the one true God, we can understand it and work with it and work around it. Because it's happened in our church. Our denomination is going through a challenge right now. Coming up at annual conference, there's going to be some of our United Methodist churches that are going to leave the denomination because they think that United Methodist Church is not adhering to some scriptural things. You can have your own belief about that, but that's what's taking place. It's sad, it really is. Division and separation, at the very definition, is the fall of humanity from the garden onward, in which humankind has separated from the unity and the relationship with God and began to live a life. And you hear this in the sports world, but you don't think about it in the church world. You become a free agent. Think about that. God's goal is to return humanity to the state of unity, harmony, relationship, symphony, a coming into tune, so to speak, in tune with each other and being in tune with God, and more importantly, in tune with the world. Jesus said we're in the world, not of the world, but we got to deal with this worldly stuff. So pray for our brothers and sisters in the upcoming annual conference. We're still going to be Christians, we're still going to be brothers, but just a little different thinking about how Scripture pertains to what we do. Doesn't make you a bad person or anything like that. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will continue to woo. I like what John Wesley said. The Holy Spirit is always wooing us into that love relationship with Him. But it's hard. our very existence and way of understanding life and each other is based in terms of measurement and locating ourselves as opposed to others. This is the essence of individualism. Community, though, is what we desire. It's from the core of our hearts. It's challenging us at all times. Relationships are challenging. Anyone know that relationships are challenging? I think we've all had a relationship in our life with someone or others that was challenging in our life. That's why divorce is rampant at times. But yet, as we continue to seek relationship with one another, we are ultimately designed to be that way. We're ultimately designed to be in relationship with one another, to be in unity and harmony with one another. That don't mean we always have to agree on everything or like what we each other do. My friend John Riley, evangelist friend of mine, always said, God commanded us to love one another. And you got to do that. You got to love one another. But you don't have to go to dinner with them. Or you don't have to like what they do, but you got to love them. That's the paradox of humanity. We are both sympathetic and diabolical. We have good and evil. We have this guy over here, the Holy Spirit. We have this guy over here telling us to... Both tendencies live within us. And how we live them out will determine what kind of community that we'll build. Community, not only where we live together, community of relationship with God, the community of churches. What kind of church would we build? But what does Jesus say? Why does he put so much emphasis on love? In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul emphasized love, love, love. Why? Because love is the sealant, if you will, for sympathy or even apathy. Compassion, community, and unity. Love is the mortar that binds every stone that lies upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. So as soon as love becomes peripheral and something else works its way into our foundation, sin, our edifices begin to crumble and separate. Now I'm not talking about just buildings, I'm talking about us, individuals, humans. Community starts to build walls instead of bridges, barriers instead of entryways. Love seals, mistrust divides. What is that secret sauce? Jesus. Jesus. There's something about that name. He is the ingredient of his secret sauce. And no matter how hard loving is, and it's hard, it's the goal that all Christians, Jesus followers, pursue in order to build the kind of community that Jesus intended. Whenever division exists, seal it with love. Whenever diverse opinions exist, bridge it with love. Whenever differing worldviews emerge, and there is a lot of different worldviews. There's a lot of biblical worldviews too that should come together in harmony, but they don't. Whenever worldviews emerge, stretch out a hand of love. Whenever multiple interpretations are posed, offer up an ear in love. Whenever differences threaten to divide, remember this, that love of God unifies all things and all people. For what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, love abide, but the greatest of these is love. So what's the secret of rebuilding the church? You know, in 70 AD, when Jesus told them that the temple was going to be destroyed, you know, the temple is in ruins and still has not been rebuilt. The church is struggling. It needs rebuilding. But how do we rebuild that church? And I'm talking about not necessarily Bethel, although that's an important thing. We'd love to see this little community grow and flourish in love, that this little church becomes a haven for people to come to get encouraged so they can go back out and deal with this world stuff. It might take many ideas. It might take many ingredients, a lot of time, even many differing approaches. But the binding ingredient is love. Bind us together. Love God. Love one another. So where there is community, there is love. And what is unity and community? You put them together, it's common unity in Christ. Love one another.